It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good.
Good.
What's your name?
My name is Tayshia. How nervous are you right now?
I'm a little nervous, but I'm mostly excited right now.
I'm freaking out.
It's okay.
But it's all good. So I don't know much about you, but the one thing I do know is that you have a really big heart and you care about kids and doing your part in the world. And I think that's really special because I do too.
Thank you. I'll see you inside, all right?
All right, sounds good.
She's gorgeous.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and today we have a very special episode, an examination of one of the greatest seasons ever, and the player who put in one of the most interesting performances. She has since gone on to rise to the position of queenhood, and she now wears the crown. We are, of course, talking about Tayshia Adams, our current bachelorette.
Tayshia Adams. Her rookie season. We're going to get into it. It's Colton Underwood season. We are in the era where we're seeing serious powerhouses come out of this game. She's competing with Kaylin Miller-Keys. Hannah Brown. Heard of her?
Cassie Randolph, maybe you've heard of her.
I have. Demi Burnett? Are you kidding me? All of these people in one season? Yes.
Well, this is really the result of what we call the Paradise Era. When the game changed in 2014, after the first Paradise aired, and that now became a secondary goal. Not only are you trying to win the ring or the crown, you also have this extra goal of, well, if I can just make the top six, I'll be invited to Paradise. And on Paradise, I will then begin to amass a following. So Tayshia's rookie season was right in the sweet spot of that. I mean, this roster, have we seen a roster like this before? A player pool this stacked with talent?
No. I mean, we started to get stacked seasons, like you're saying, at the beginning of the Paradise era. That was Chris Soules' season. That was the first one where everyone knew there was going to be a Bachelor in Paradise that they could go to after. And that's where we saw the rise of Ashley Iaconetti, Caitlin Bristow, etc. But Colton's season, I mean, we could do an All-Stars episode on many of these players. That's the thing. It's a plethora of riches. And Tayshia's game, it is not the flashiest game of this season. It is not the one that you see when you watch the season, you go, oh my God, this is an all-star right here. It is more subtle. It is more artful. And these games are just as important because Tayshia has made history. She is the first Black player to get over 1 million Instagram followers. And I cannot emphasize enough how important this is. Rachel Lindsay still doesn't have 1 million Instagram followers. That is how difficult this is. And Rachel Lindsay has done literally everything you could imagine. She played a flawless season on Nick Viall's season. She became the first crown who was Black.
Not to mention, she's the host of 257 podcasts, 945 television programs. She's everywhere. She's a media juggernaut and still doesn't have 1 million Instagram followers.
Yes.
And Tayshia does. And it all started with season 23 of The Bachelor, our beloved virgin, Colton Underwood. And now,
we proudly present the greatest players from the greatest seasons in the history of our beloved game. These are the All-Stars.
Tayshia's entry to our beloved game was not unique. It was not flashy. It was not ostentatious in any way. It was simply a blandy.
She's wearing a silver dress. I would say that is the flashiest part of her entrance. She tells Colton, I don't know much about you, but I know you care about kids. This is a blandy, but it's right off the bat setting up her game, which is 4TRR through and through. She cares about kids. What's more for TRR than that?
And she tells him that she doesn't know much about him. We don't know if that is true or not. We don't know if she saw the 14th season of Bachelorette when he was a player trying to vie for the affections of Becca Kufrin. She probably did. At this point in the history of the game, like we're saying, you see these stacked rosters of powerhouses, and it continued on into season 24 with PPPP. We saw, I mean, Hannah Sluss and Madison Pruitt in one season, let alone everybody else who was in that season. The hoojus of Kelsey Weir alone put everyone to shame, stacked, in my opinion. It was the best hooju player we've ever seen. That's not nothing.
I love that. You're like, the powerhouses of season 24. Kelsey Weir's hoojus.
They were the greatest hoojus in history.
I know, but it's not top of mind for me when I think of the best plays of season 24, but
Victoria Fuller's Tears game? We hadn't really seen anything that.
A doorstep hometown that made her, got her to Fantasy Suites. That porch play did even better than Kelsey's full hometown date. She still beat Kelsey.
I mean, Victoria Fuller was a better player than Kelsey, but I'm just saying Kelsey had the best hoojus we've ever seen. And season 23 had a similar stacked roster. We have to assume now that all of these players are watching the fucking show because they're all so good. They all understand the game at such an intricate level. And so right off the bat, I don't know if she's telling the truth here. If she is, fine. Then she is for TRR about it. If she's not, what a play. What a play. I don't know anything about you. I'm just here to get to know you. So any affections, any emotions that may develop are that much more for TRR. She's essentially saying, there is no parasocial component to whatever our relationship becomes. This is 100% real.
The strongest evidence for her having seen the show comes up next. She has set up this elaborate mini date on night one. She's already on top of her third audience game, playing to the producers in order to have something like this set up. There was different, like, carnival things. It took over the whole, like, side driveway area. There's a pony ride where she ends up piggybacking on Colton's back, which breaks the touch barrier.
And don't forget, it's called Tayshia Land. There's a fucking sign that says Tayshia Land. Her name is fucking emblazoned right there in text on the fucking screen, reinforcing to everyone in the fourth audience, us at home watching, my name is Tayshia, and this is my land.
Does that seem like production value brought to you by a player who has never seen the show before? I don't know.
And I don't believe you get a mini date like this on night one after the cocktail party is in full effect and Tayshia leads Colton by the hand out to the side driveway of the mansion. The producers are obviously setting all this up. I don't know if she went to them or they went to her, but this is requires production. It requires the sign to be manufactured. So we know that the producers at the very least are on her side early on in this season. And usually, not always, sometimes things can happen that derail these types of games.
Yeah.
But usually, when producers are putting that much effort into somebody that early on, they are going to have a deep run, and those are players to watch.
Certainly, we've seen exceptions to this. We saw the woman who arrived via Cinderella carriage, Grandy, end up getting sent home on night one. But generally, these gigantic productions are implying a deep run, and a deep run Tayshia does get. She gets 11th flower on night one. Her highest score of the season. Tayshia Land is such a strong mini date idea because it's such a huge production. She's breaking the touch barrier, doing this pony ride with Colton. It's fun and silly. You're less likely to get stolen from when you have this whole elaborate setup. People are going to be like, oh, I need to like give that time and space. If you can coordinate an extravagant mini date like this on night one, you absolutely should. And yeah, setting up the branding of Taysha Land. This is my name. Distinguish me from all the other players.
And while 11th Flower might seem kind of shitty on a night one, and certainly it's not great for your rose quotient, it's important to note that 22 flowers were given out in that rose ceremony that night. So she comes in right in the middle. This is a textbook floater game, starting right here on night one. Come in, make a little bit of an impression with a big night one mini date. You get a middle of the pack rose. There's no threat of you leaving, nor are you considered necessarily to be a front runner. You're just there, and we can kind of start to see the subtlety of the game she's going to play for the rest of the season.
Week one, in classic strong floater style, she's on the group date. Group date number two. It is a summer camp themed group date, and Billy Eichner is the celebrity host. He is playing a camp counselor. Dark Lord Harrison introduces him, and they introduce this relay race, play for time. Whichever team wins gets an overnight date with Colton. And wouldn't you know it, Taysha picks a good team. She's on the red team, and they win. Her, Alex, Cassie, Heather, never been kissed, Heather, Kaylin Miller-Keys, and Katie Moe.
Now, this might seem arbitrary. It's a 50-50 shot when you're on this group date. You're going to get split into two teams. One team's going to win, one team's going to lose. And it might be a coin flip, but it's not. This is the subtlety we're talking about. Choosing that correct team, who's going to win, means you get more time with them. You get a little more screen time. And this is a part of the beautiful art of being a good floater. It's aligning yourselves with the proper groups so that you do float through to the next round. And she does that here.
This time is so crucial, especially early on, that you are more likely to make it far in the game if you are on the winning team. That's just true. Part two of that group date, we got a couple players level one-ing. Katie does that, gets a kiss. Heather plays her personal virginity card, that she's a kiss virgin. Kaylin plays her PTC that she's hospitalized as a kid, and Taysha just steady tay-tay gets her first kiss. That's the only stat she racks up on this second part of the group date. It's not enough to get the group date rose. Heather gets that, but it is enough to get first flower that week.
And first flower, as we know, is an award from the producers for the player who is the least likely to be sent home. This is the person that we don't really think about leaving. Get him out of the way. You get first flower. There you go. And you're safe. You don't have to endure the rest of this rose ceremony thinking, oh shit, am I going to get kicked off for the next 14 roses that are given out?
It's kind of like a symbolic gesture. You didn't get the group date rose, but here you go.
And in terms of rose quotient, it's the best flower you can get other than a zero pointer. After getting the first flower, what does a strong floater do? She floats. The next week, she goes on the second group date. It's a celebrity group date with Terry Crews and his wife, and they have set up an obstacle course to determine the strongest woman in The Bachelor, where they are doing all kinds of athletic exercises, including pulling a fucking limo with a rope tied to them, which Taysha attempts to do, kind of. But she doesn't stand out on this group date. She doesn't do anything. She shows up. She smiles. It's great to have time to be with you.
Part two at the after party, she sticks with the theme of the date. They talk about being strong. She gets a kiss.
And that's it. That's all she does that week. And you know what she gets for this strong, strong float? She gets second flower. It's not quite first flower. It's not a group date rose. But she does get second flower. She's floating perfectly, getting these awards at the end by the producers that say, good job, you're sticking around, we like what you're doing. And you start to piece together this idea that maybe they're even thinking of her to be a bachelorette down the road. because there's no other reason for her to be getting these top flowers other than producer's favor. And then we come to week three.
They travel to Singapore.
And Tayshia is a floater no more. This is the week where Tayshia takes the credit she's been building and spends it all in one shot. And it is a thing of fucking beauty. She gets a one-on-one date this week, and what she does in it is transformative. This is a textbook lesson for anybody who's playing a floater strategy and how to transition that into being a superstar. The rest of this hour and 15 minute podcast, in which we go through Tayshia's rookie season play by play, is available on our Patreon, which is now home to a growing catalog of strange content for those of us who want to descend to the bottom of the pit. We've got other exclusive podcasts like this one. We have got video content. We do live video shows before every episode of Bachelorette airs, which we're going to continue doing all the way through Matt James' season as well. And that's all on our Patreon, where we answer questions and talk about the upcoming games and what we are expecting from certain players. And our Patreon is more than just content. It's actually becoming an interesting community of people who really want to discuss the game at high levels. So if that sounds like something that would interest you, or if you just want to have a mountain of other content to dig through about our beloved game, please go to patreon.com/gameofroses, and we'll see you in the bottom of the pit.
It's the pit, you can get it in, and dig around in all this content. It's the pit, come on, admit, you wanna eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit, there's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit, you can get it in, and dig around in all this content. It's the pit, come on, admit, you wanna eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit, there's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit.